What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One, at Gary Whitta.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's been too long. We haven't done this show together in quite some time.
I know. I've missed you. I mean, I miss you a lot too. Just, you know, because the whole situation, we don't see each other. It's sad.
I know. It's sad. Yeah. We were just getting our friendship started. You know, well, I mean, we've been friends for years, but I mean, in terms of like, hey, we went to Buffalo Wild Wings. We're like, we should do this every week. We should start hanging out in real life and playing
games. We hang out as couples now as well. That's the thing. We do. It's all very thrown up.
One of our final dinners out was with you and your wife, your lovely wife.
Yeah. We went to that, one of my favorite restaurants. You know, that was just when things were getting good, Greg.
We thought
life throws us a curveball.
And you got to adapt, you know? That's how it's all about.
By the way, Greg, I just want to say, I like your t-shirt.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I like that.
Vote for Joe Biden.
YouTube.com/kindoffunny right now. There's the whole podcast. Two hours of us ranting about it, but I digress. Gary, how's the Xbox show been going for you?
I think good, right? I guess I'm enjoying doing it. As the entrepreneur, Greg, as the business owner, as the guy who's seeing the metrics, the guy that is like the overlord who is looking down from, you know, kind of funny Mount Olympus on all of this, master of all you survey.
That's what we call
it. And you look at PSI Love and you go, well, that's good. You're looking at Internet Explorers and you're going, well, maybe that's not so good. You're looking at other things. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to spread around, you know.
They watched an Apple conference from like a decade ago yesterday. What the fuck? Can we do that?
But I'm saying you're looking at all these different parts of your media empire, Greg. Yeah. You cast your gaze. The eye of Sauron falls upon the Kinda Funny X-Cast. What are you thinking? What are you feeling?
You guys are killing it. We're loving it. I'm so happy that Kinda Funny X-Cast is doing well. Of course, every Saturday, 6 a.m., Gary, Alana, Snowbike, Mike, Barrett on the ones and twos. You guys are having a great time over there, making a lot of great content.
What a time
to be running an Xbox show.
I mean, I'm not sure I like the way you are very much keeping us on our toes there. You initially said, well, we'll just do six episodes. So I very much kind of felt like the sword of Damocles hanging over my head. I'm sure that was deliberate. I mean, we've got to do good, you know, because we want Greg to like let us continue. You know, you're up there like, you know, like Commodus up in the, you know, like, you know, what's it going to be? Oh, we don't know which way the thumb's going to go.
Yeah.
And so we got the thumbs up after the first six episodes. Now we're being told that we're good through the launch of the Series X, which of course is only, 6 weeks away?
Yeah.
So we're on another short
term. Keep the quality up. That's
situation,
all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know
we're looking for that five season pickup, Greg.
If I let you have a little bit of slack in the leash, you'll take advantage of it. You know what I mean? Look, once you were confirmed on Games Daily, some days you text me, I'm not going to do the show. You know what I mean? Get somebody else in there. It's like, well, now I know you with the X-Cast. There's a heat to your foot. You gotta actually be out there. You gotta be making your moves. You've been standing still too long, Whitta.
You've done a good job of holding my feet to the fire,
Thank you, Greg.
But no, we're really enjoying doing it, and especially now. We were just joking before the show about how like there's just so much to talk about right now in the Xbox world because it's all popping off with the pre-orders, with the upcoming launch, with the big moves that. Xbox is making with this Bethesda stuff, and there's a blue controller. Who saw that coming?
Wow.
A blue controller.
There it is. Yeah.
It's one thing after another. Lots to talk about on Friday. I'm looking forward to reconvening with Alana and Mike. And you know, we did it last week with Paris. He was our fourth chair.
Yeah.
I'm aware of Paris. I've seen some of his content, but I've never like done anything with him. But he's great. I really like him a lot.
Love him. He's great. Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's very cool.
Well, I'm excited to reconvene with you today, Gary, to talk about if we're getting a Metal Gear Solid remake, the Game Awards being in three cities, and Bethesda still kind of being independent, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can ask us questions. You can get the show ad-free. You can even get the exclusive post-show we do each and every weekday, all on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live as we record it, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on Rooster Teeth, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. I got a bunch, so stick with me. Number one, Hades First Impressions are now live. You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. See Blessing and Imran talk all about Hades and how it's a game of the year contender. Of course, First Impressions is also a podcast feed, so you can find that on the podcast services of your choice. Number two, I think the most important Kind of Funny podcast we've ever done is live right now on youtube.com/kindoffunny and podcast services around the globe, and I urge you to check it out. Speaking of youtube.com/kindoffunny, after this show, we have cool friends with Nick Scarpino interviewing Fantastic Beasts. Dan Fogler is going to post on youtube.com/kindoffunny, podcast services around the globe as We Have Cool Friends. Check that out. And since that's happening over there and maybe you're watching live, Andy Cortez will be streaming after Kind of Funny Games Daily. He's going to be playing Super Mario Galaxy. So a bevy of things for you to watch and enjoy today from the Kind of Funny Empire.
His very first
Mario game ever made, Greg.
His very first time playing Galaxy, I think.
Oh. Yeah.
He's in for a treat. The best Mario game ever made.
What about Super Mario?
Yeah, what about Super Mario Odyssey?
They're in the conversation as well, but I can only speak to my personal favorite. And my personal favorite Mario game of all time is the first Super Mario Galaxy.
I've never played it either. I definitely want to check it out.
Well, you have no excuse now.
Wow.
I never owned a Wii U. I borrowed I never owned a Wii. I borrowed a Wii and played some Wii games, but they didn't have Mario Galaxy with the games that they let me borrow.
Honestly, I'm actually quite envious of you because the first time I played Galaxy, even though it was one of my all-time favorite games, I was always aware of the fact that I was playing it kind of a generation behind, you know, because HD was a thing at that point. You know, obviously we're all taking it for granted now we're all on the 4K train. HD is the new standard definition, but at the time when, you know, PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 had already made the leap to HD, the poor old Wii was still floundering back there in the 480p wastelands. And so as much as I loved the game, I couldn't stop like scratching the itch of the back of my brain about like how much better would this look if it was actually in HD like every other game system is these days. Now it is. Now you can experience it the way I think it was always meant to be experienced. And so I'm very envious that you'll get to make your first playthrough. What's that, Greg?
Remember component cables?
Oh God. I remember S-Video.
No.
I remember remember RCA cables, Greg? How far back
can
you go? You want to get really old school with me?
I remember RCA cables. I am that old as well. Don't worry about that.
Remember composite cables?
We've moved past that, guys. We've moved past that era.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, a.k.a. Momo, Tom Bach, and Black Jack. Today, we're brought to you by Logitech, Klarna, and HelloFresh, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We got 8 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
And that's we're getting close. It's, you know, 8 items, that's a big old Roper Report. We're getting close to the real baker's dozen here. But let's start with number one, which I just titled Metal Gear. Darren Bonfis over at GameSpot.com writes, Metal Gear Solid has been absent on PC for the last 2 decades, last appearing in a 2000 port of the hit PS1 game. New ratings and images on the Taiwan Digital Game Rating Committee website for games were picked up by Gamatsu. This could indicate that publisher Konami may be ready to revive not only the first game in the Metal Gear Solid series, but its first sequel and the original 1988 MSX game as well. Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty received a PC port in 2003 in the form of Metal Gear Solid Subsistence, which expanded on the sequel with additional game modes, small dialogue changes, and a slight tweak for the controls. Substance also added 350 VR missions and 150 alternative missions. The alternative missions were set in areas from the main campaign and allowed players to engage in them as either Solid Snake or Raiden. The first 2 Metal Gear Solid games have been collected and re-released in ports before, such as 2011's Metal Gear Solid HD Collection for PS3, PS Vita, and Xbox 360, as well as 2013's Metal Gear Solid Legacy Collection on PS3. YouTube channel Red Gaming Tech has also claimed that Metal Gear Solid will come back to PC, remade from the ground up for that platform and the PS5, according to their source. Konami has usually repackaged the old PC ports of its games in the past for a new release, but more details could be revealed at the Tokyo Games Show this week. The publisher will be present on 2 panels from September 26th through 27th. For more, check out the full Tokyo Game Show schedule. Now, I understand trying to be reasonable with the news. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The sixth fucking paragraph is going to talk about this. They might be remaking Metal Gear Solid for PC and PS5. The fifth fucking paragraph? That's your headline, goddammit. And that's
called burying the lead, Greg.
Push Square has it over there. Robert Ramsey wrote, here's a doozy of a rumor for you. Metal Gear Solid, the PS1 classic, is being remade again and is coming to the PS5 and PC. This is according to YouTube channel Red Gaming Tech, which has been known to provide some accurate leaks in the past, although they specialize in hardware information rather than software. Still, according to their source, a source that apparently has a 100% track record up to this point, this supposed Metal Gear Solid revival is not a full remake. This Metal Gear Solid revival is a full remake, not just some kind of port or remaster. The source also states that Metal Gear Solid 2, 3, and 4 are all being re-released, but it sounds like they're set to be remasters rather than full remakes. It's unclear whether they're coming to PS5 as well or whether they're just targeting PC. We don't know how far into development the Metal Gear Solid remake is, but its rumored existence does tie into reports that we've heard elsewhere. For starters, we know that Sony has been flashing its cash to third-party publishers in order to lock down exclusive PS5 deals. Final Fantasy 16 is a perfect example of this. A remake of Metal Gear Solid, arguably the most beloved installment in a series synonymous with PlayStation, certainly fits the bill when you consider that Sony dished out serious dosh for timed exclusivity on a very similar project, namely Final Fantasy VII Remake. But is Konami really going to pump money into crafting a full-blown remake of Metal Gear Solid? Without a doubt, stranger things have happened, but the Japanese publisher is something of an enigma these days, which makes it an easy starting point for all kinds of rumors. Remember Silent Hills on PS5? Heck, maybe that's happening as well, and Konami's really getting back into the swing of things. Anyway, this is certainly one to keep an eye on. Gary, where do you start with all of this? The Taiwanese board has said they're coming to PC. Who the fuck cares? More importantly, where do you start with this remake stuff?
I think it's good. I'm a fan. I like seeing these old classic games coming back in a new form and getting a bit of a glow up. It's definitely a trend right now. We're seeing a lot of it out there in different forms. Everything from the Resident Evil 2, where they completely did remake it from the ground up, to Tony Hawk 1 and 2, where it wasn't just a remaster, but they didn't like reinvent it, but they really did kind of bring it into the 21st century. I love the fact that these games, the simple remasters like we're seeing right now with 3D All-Stars. I think that there are many, many, many great games out there that aren't appreciated by the current generation of gamers because they're just before their time. And for a lot of gamers going back and playing those games, with kind of those blocky old PS2 or Nintendo Wii graphics, as we were talking about earlier, can feel a bit retrograde, and it's like, oh, this isn't shiny and new the way that I expect my video games to be these days. But by giving them these glow ups, they're obviously making money, which is their main priority. But they're also giving a whole new generation of gamers a chance to experience these games for the first time, as well as giving the old fogies like you and me, Greg, a chance to go back and retreat to a happier time in our lives when we were still young and virile and excited about the future and playing video games.
Wouldn't you be excited again? A remake of Metal Gear Solid from the ground up on your PlayStation 5. You know what I mean? There we go. The Twin Snakes approach, but done with the modern idea.
I'm excited about it because I actually, well, for me personally, I would love this because I actually never played the original Metal Gear Solid. That was before my time. I never had a PlayStation 1. Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, as I believe you and I have spoken about before, Greg, is one of my all-time favorite games. I played the shit out of that on PlayStation 2. And the idea of that getting even just like a remaster, like an HD remaster, I would definitely go back and play that again. That game is fucking nuts, by the way, Greg. Remember the last hour of that game?
I remember Metal Gear Solid 2? Yes.
I mean, do you remember the last hour? I was just shaking my head the whole time going, what the fuck is going on? But like, in the best way.
Turn off your system. Running around, holding your balls, you know what's going on.
But the original...
Rose is real, Rose is fake. Is the baby real? We don't know.
Did you say they were throwing in all the extra stuff, VR missions and stuff like that? Is that all going in there?
There's two different things going on here. So there's two different things going on here. There's this idea that, yes, all these games have been rated and are coming to Taiwan on PC. Great, to open it up to a new audience. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. What I'm more excited about, and of course, take with a grain of fucking salt, is this rumor that, in fact, Metal Gear Solid is getting remade for PlayStation 5 and PC, which isn't completely, I think, outlandish. Obviously, how long have we heard of this going on in terms of Sony making moves and talking to Konami and trying to do Silent Hills and trying to do get those IP to have something exclusive to go off and do this, right? Charles Jacobson writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, when will Sony acquire the video game IPs from Konami? Even if they announce Konami really is remaking Metal Gear Solid, I don't trust Konami to do it, as they've done nothing to prove their respect for their own legacy. They are more concerned with selling water and pachinko machines. Sony at least gave Silent Hill people at Team Gravity, have the Silent Hill people at Team Gravity, and could potentially get Kojima to give input on the Metal Gear Solid remake in collaboration with Bluepoint. And something about a small team from Insomniac, they've got two studios, each with multiple teams, working on Bomberman, has something of a solid potential in my mind. I think that's the biggest thing about it. I was interested to see Robert and Push Square jump to this idea that, man, is Konami getting back into this? Because I don't think they are. That is not what I think would be happening. If there is a PlayStation 5 PC, and I'm so we're using it as the usual console exclusive thing that PlayStation does, for Metal Gear Solid, which goddamn I hope there is, that is, I think, 100% Sony already licensing the IP from Konami. And I think that's the easiest way to make this. Konami, to an extent, has to understand that in our audience, right, they are nuclear. They are like, you know, everybody holds up the crucifix when they walk into the room, right? They are tainted goods. And if it was that Konami came out tomorrow and was like, yep, we are remaking Metal Gear, I think the backlash would be so severe and so much of like, you fucked Kojima. You don't know what you're doing. You guys are just pachinko machines. Don't do this. That's why I totally 100% believe if there's any credence to this rumor, it is PlayStation reaching out and be like, license us the IP. We will take it to Bluepoint, you assume, I worked on the Metal Gear remasters before, right? And say, take it to them. And then, yeah, that can be the easiest way of, it's not Konami doing it directly. It's PlayStation doing it for the PlayStation audience with Bluepoint. And yes, you assume to some regard a stamp of approval from Kojima, even if it is just him in the intro video when, you know, they talk about this announcement, they're doing it. That's how I draw it up. And I know that it sounds outlandish, crazy, and unreal, but we just saw Xbox buy Bethesda. Like, can we sit here and any more and say, like, that could never happen. That would never be. I think this could be a real thing.
Yeah, anything is possible. And I give this rumor a lot of credence because I don't think it's outlandish at all, Greg. Quite the opposite. It makes a lot of sense when you look at the current trend. Metal Gear Solid obviously is an S-tier franchise. The original game in particular is just so ripe for this, right? If you look at what's out there right now in terms of the kind of games that are getting these remakes, these remasters, these glow-ups, Metal Gear Solid is a game that like is absolutely, they should do it. It makes total sense to do it. Particularly that place, because it's a PlayStation 1 game. And I've mentioned this before many times. I think this is one of the reasons why the PlayStation Classic failed, not just because it wasn't a very good execution. It's just because a lot of those games don't hold up visually. They just look bad. The N64 and the PlayStation 1, that generation, that first transitional generation from 2D to 3D, where everything was kind of fuzzy and blocky and shitty looking, like, we don't want to go back there. It just looks shitty now. And so you've got a great game in the original Metal Gear Solid, which totally holds up as a game, but visually very much does not. It totally makes sense for them to do this and to be doing this now at this time, especially on the cusp of a new PlayStation generation. I think if they can get Kojima's involvement, I don't think Kojima necessarily wants to look backwards at this point. I think he wants to go forwards with the new stuff that he's doing. But even if they can just get his blessing, I think that would mollify a lot of fans and help get them on board. I don't know why you wouldn't be on board. This can only be a good thing. The one thing I definitely agree with you is I don't think Konami will be terribly involved. They're done. They're done with video games. They're making too much money in pachinko parlors. They're making too much money. And what I found out the other day, Greg, you know Konami makes Yu-Gi-Oh cards? Do you know how much fucking money they must be making?
Hell yeah.
Flogging Yu-Gi-Oh cards? I just watched some fucking guy on YouTube the other day because I went down a rabbit hole unboxing hundreds of boxes of Yu-Gi-Oh cards looking for this one particular card. They must be making money hand over fist off of people like that. absolutely sure. mental.
You know where they're sending their video games? To the fucking Shadow Realm. You know what I'm saying, Greg?
I do know what you're saying. Yu-Gi-Oh!
And we've talked about it before. It's a shame they're sitting on these amazing franchises. You know, Castlevania, yes. Metal Gear Solid. Yes. You know, and they're just sitting at Silent Hill. They're just sitting around. But what if look, Konami clearly is going where the money is. So, but I think you're right. I think what happens is PlayStation goes to Konami and says, look, you don't need to do shit. You don't care about these games anymore. So why not just take some free money?
Yeah.
Sign this piece of paper. We'll write you a big ass check and we'll go away, take care of it. And you can have a royalty on the back end or whatever. Here's basically a bunch of free money. I think Konami are going to take that deal. So I give a lot of credence to this rumor.
Here's my thing is Ignacio Rojas in You're Wrong points out, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, by the way. It's worth noting that Konami still does make games. Pro Evolution Soccer still comes out yearly with the most recent entry having released a couple weeks ago. Great point. To this question, it to me, and granted, everybody can kick around the same rumor and it can never be true. To me, this is a where there's smoke, there's fire thing. I think that it seemed when there was all these rumors that PlayStation was talking to Konami about getting Silent Hill on board, and then it started getting outlandish, right, where it was, and they're trying to get Silent Hills and bring back get that back for Kojima, and they're trying to get Metal Gear Solid and remake that. I don't know how that started escalating, right? But here we are back again with the same kind of argument from at least a trusted source, according to this YouTube channel. But again, I don't know, and take all this with a grain of salt. And it's just fun to sit here and hypothesize, right? But I guess this is the thing. Even if, let's say, this rumor isn't true, I do believe that inside of PlayStation, someone is chasing this. Because back to what the articles both talked about, what you're talking about, Gary, Metal Gear Solid is synonymous with PlayStation. PlayStation gets that. That's why Final Fantasy VII was such a big get for them and was such a big deal for them. So if you're able to Game Awards 2021, or if E3's back in 2022 or whatever the hell's going on, to have a press conference or a state of play that the screen goes black and you get the codec, right? And it boom, comes up. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Even if it was like the opening of the press conference where they revealed the Final Fantasy stuff and you heard the sound effects there. Imagine if it was the of selecting a Metal Gear Solid 1 thing, right? Like, that would... That place will come unhinged wherever you are, every reaction stream, everything. And so I think with PlayStation, as you're saying, Gary, starting off on this new generation for PlayStation 5, they do need to look and go, all right, cool. What are the games that are synonymous with us that would bring people in that people would want? And especially in the remake thing. And you see it already with Demon's Souls, right? Launching with the PlayStation 5. I think Metal Gear Solid makes so much sense. And I think they are in such a unique position to be like, all right, listen, Konami, give it to us. We're working with a second party. We'll treat as a first party. And then, hey, Kojima, we're still going to finance your next game, but we really just need you to say, like, you've seen Blue Point's work and you trust in them and you're excited to see what somebody else does with them. And you see everybody come together. I think that's what could actually happen.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense. I know that Metal Gear Solid has also appeared on other platforms subsequently. But when you think about Metal Gear Solid, you think about PlayStation, right? 100%. You really think it's kind of the PlayStation's the spiritual home of Metal Gear Solid. And so I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, Microsoft just threw down a massive gauntlet with this Bethesda stuff in terms of these first party wars and platform exclusives. Again, we don't even know yet how that's going to shake out in terms of, you know, how much exclusivity Microsoft is now going to exercise over these franchises that they own. But Sony increasingly needs to respond. Microsoft is coming on really fucking strong in this generation. Series X, Series S, All Access, fucking Game Pass, Bethesda. There's a blue controller. Did I mention they have a blue controller coming out, Greg?
That's no fucking joke.
That thing is blue. That thing is as blue as shit. It's like they looked at that controller and said, how much more blue could we make this? Well, the answer is none. None more blue. This is the bluest fucking controller anyone's ever made. Sony doesn't have a blue controller for the PlayStation 5 yet. What's going on there? Why haven't they responded to that? They're getting slapped in the face by Microsoft from every direction.
It's embarrassing when you think about it.
I heard it was so blue that it, like, Tim passed out when he saw it. It was so blue that Tim just didn't know how to
comprehend. It's very, very
blue. Blue's Nick's favorite color, remember?
Let me tell you, who's blue right now?
Sony. Sony is blue because they're bummed out that they don't have a response to any of these moves that Microsoft is making. I think reactivating Metal Gear Solid, bringing it back into the PlayStation fold exclusively is the way to go. And here's the thing. It's the same thing as Tony Hawk 1 and 2. This is what you do. And it happened. We saw it also with Modern Warfare, Call of Duty last year, is when a franchise feels like it's running out of steam and you're running out of ideas and you know the franchise is a license to print money, but you can't really figure out how to move it forward, you just go backwards instead. That's what they did with with Modern Warfare. Let's just go back to sure. when everyone loved Call of Duty, and it worked. It played out brilliantly for them. Tony Hawk has been shit for years now. The last few games have been terrible. Remember that one ride where they shipped it with a fucking skateboard that you just fell off?
The board was full of technology. Yeah, how can I forget?
Tony Hawk 5 was no good. So they said, let's just go back. Let's just retreat into the rose-tinted spectacles world of nostalgia. And it worked out well for them as well. Resident Evil 2. All of these reboots and these remasters, the people are responding well to them, I think. And Metal Gear Solid is so on deck. Yeah. To be the next one of those. I think Sony should, if they haven't already done it, yeah, they should actually be doing this. Write a big fucking check, bring back Metal Gear Solid. It doesn't even have to be Metal Gear Solid 6 or whatever, or some totally new game. It can just be, let's go back to those halcyon days of the original game that everyone loved. It's totally overdue. Let me ask you this though, Greg. Yeah. Which path do you want them to go down here? Do you want the original game just remastered with like high fidelity graphics, or do you want a ground up reinvention like they did with Resident Evil 2?
They are talking about a remake, and I want a remake. That's what I want. I want to see them go through and do it. Because I mean, as much as you know, people not even bag on, kind of just forget about Twin Snakes. As somebody who Metal Gear Solid is one of my favorite games of all time, was my favorite game of all time. And when Twin Snakes released, like I had a ball with Twin Snakes. That was a lot of fun on GameCube to run through and play. And sure, being able to go into first person mode broke the, you know, fight with Gray Fox or whatever. But there was things like that that I still really dug out of that and enjoyed. And it was my first real exposure to anime, basically. As so many people always point that out.
Yeah. But it's interesting. You said you're a big fan, but you don't want like a totally faithful remaster. You want them to get more radical.
I'd like to be kept on my toes. I mean, it's mainly the fact of like, look at Resident Evil 2, right? And how that was Resident Evil 2, but it was also a marriage of all the modern conveniences you remember and want out of gaming. Like, I still want that out of them. Like, I love Metal Gear Solid. I want to see a 2020 version of Metal Gear Solid.
Well, but let me ask you this. So I think, I don't know if it's a like-for-like comparison. With Resident Evil 2, I think they did feel the need to really radically reapproach it, because that old, you know, moving from one fixed camera position to another, that's so old hat now. I don't think people would have responded to like just a straight remaster based on that same approach. Do you think that Metal Gear Solid, though, which still has the fixed camera but isn't quite as annoying as the original Resident Evil 2 was, don't you think they could just stick with the original game and glow it up, and like people would still like? I guess the argument I'm making is the original Metal Gear Solid, I think, is aged better than the old Resident Evil games and don't necessarily need a radical reapproaching the way that the Resident Evil games did if you're going to bring them into the modern era.
I agree with you, but they're out there already. Like, you can play Metal Gear Solid on pretty much everything at this point, right? Like, I've played it, I feel like, on everything. So I'm trying to run through, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you want that classic experience, it's there. I think it would be very similar to Final Fantasy VII, where Remake dropped, and as soon as Blessing beat it, he was like, man, I want to go back and actually play Final Fantasy VII. It's never clicked for me before. And he went back and did it. I think you can see the same thing here, where you give a radical 2020 modern version. I mean, think about all stories and story complaints and unfinished acts complaints out the window. Metal Gear Solid 5 plays fucking flawlessly. That is a fantastic game. Imagine having that kind of fidelity and level of control of Snake in there, and like having levels designed obviously to have you play and roll and duck and dive and all that stuff in fractions of seconds. Like, I would love that. And it'd be cool again, like if it's like Final Fantasy VII Remake, where they take liberties and it's not in the same timeline, and like, so you don't know exactly what's going to happen. And then it would encourage people to go back and play the original, which you can get as a PlayStation Classic and do whatever you want.
Quick question, really quick.
What's your question?
How much of the original game will I understand if I've only ever played Metal Gear Survive?
I mean, the great part about Metal Gear Solid is you can just jump right in. Don't worry about it. Metal Gear Survive, it might have spoiled a few things for you, like the walkers, and you'll be fine, though. You're going to be okay.
It does make me wonder why people
got transported into a different reality. What was the premise of that game again? I played like the first 2 hours, and then I went to Destin and Legere.
I'm not playing this anymore. The Metal Gear games, you don't want to be thinking too much. You're just going to get confused and frustrated and scared. It's like, just let it happen to you. You just got to sit back and like let those games wash over you. It does, Greg, it does kind of beg the question, though, why doesn't Sony, again, I don't know if we're seeing the beginning of an arms race or whatever, but that $7.5 billion acquisition of Bethesda, again, that was a big move from Microsoft. I think they've totally reset the narrative in terms of, well, you know, who has better first party. I don't think it's ever been that cut and dried. I don't think Sony does have the fantastic stable of exclusives that many people seem to go, oh, but Sony's got the exclusives. Okay, what are they? You can count them on the fingers of one hand. It ain't that many. So I do think they need to improve their portfolio. If Konami has basically fallen out of love with making video games because there's more money to be made, you know, selling pachinko machines and fucking Yu-Gi-Oh cards,
yeah,
why doesn't Sony go to them and say, hey, we heard you like money and you're not interested in making video games anymore. Here's a $10 billion check. Give us all of these fucking franchises and we'll run them for you. And then suddenly, there's your next big gauntlet game thrown down. Guess what, kids? Metal Gear Solid, Castlevania, Silent Hill, and all the other Konami franchises are back. We're taking care of them. We're bringing them in-house or giving them to, like, you know, eight AAA studios, and they're going to be PlayStation exclusives. What about that? How about that for a slap in the face? That would be better than a blue controller. A little, I mean, not much, but a bit.
Sure, but you know, Konami isn't hurting for money. That's the difference here, right? Like, I think you look at Microsoft buying Bethesda or Microsoft buying Double Fine or Microsoft buying any of these other studios. The idea is there, hey, we want to bring you in and let you keep doing what you're great at. And you look at Konami, and Konami's like, we don't want to be bought, and we don't care about these IPs. We're like, we know that they're valuable. It's like Monopoly. They're sitting there with their Boardwalk and Park Place things, and even though they're not building hotels on them, they're like, I know. It's like when you need one from, you're playing Monopoly, and you just need one card from somebody. Like, I know this is valuable to you. How much we spend for it? And I think that they would much rather do a licensing deal where
I'm not a businessman, Greg. Like, whatever the small print says, yeah, maybe they're taking a royalty. It's a licensing thing. The point is that those massive franchises, which are typically associated with the PlayStation, especially Metal Gear. Why did Sony spend some money, reactivate those franchises, get them back into play, get them back into your portfolio? They're just sitting there. You can think about it from a business point of view in terms of a platform exclusive arms race, but just in terms of like what's good for gamers, these are some of the most storied and beloved games franchises of our generation. Metal Gear Solid, Castlevania, Silent Hill. They're just sitting around doing nothing. That's a tragedy. They should be reactivated and brought back to life.
Real quick, too. Remember, of course, there are 13 Sony first-party studios currently. So I don't know how many fingers you got on your hands to count these games or whatever. Just putting that out there. You know what I mean? Your Xbox bias is showing as you come in here with your X-Cast garbo.
Let me tell you something. Your chat gets really, really triggered when I start saying anything negative about Sony.
I wonder why.
Yeah. You set the tone, Greg. These are your people, Greg.
I don't get triggered. I mean, well, the fun thing about this is that, like, it's an ongoing conversation, of course, but it is that thing of, like, I don't think that Xbox's first-party studio or lineup right now is better than PlayStation's. I didn't say it was.
I think Sony's is still better. I'm just saying it's not the night and day gulf that some people say it is.
Oh, I mean, they're assembling the fucking Avengers over there. I can't wait for them to fucking start swinging.
Yeah. What are they? Let's not go down this road. This is a whole
let's
other
not.
Thing.
First
I'm
going to
start
quick
a podcast called PS I Hate You.
Jesus, that's fucking harsh, but okay. Can we publish it? your podcast seemed to do well.
It's the counterpoint. I'm just going to do a podcast that comes out immediately after yours, where I put forward the contrarian view of every single thing that you just said in the previous show.
Oh, okay. Then you know what? I was going to gloss over this, but let's really go ham on it, all right? Make you listen to this. Number two, let's talk about the Game Awards 2020, run by Jeff Keighley, a real cool guy in the video game industry. On December 10th, the global Gameverse is set to deliver its biggest celebration yet, the Game Awards. The video game industry's annual year-end celebration will return live on Thursday, December 10th, 2020, as a free digital live stream available across more than 45 global video platforms. Last year, the Game Awards reached 50 million global viewers, including a peak live concurrent audience of more than 7.7 million fans. With the world unable to safely gather in one physical location, the Game Awards will adapt to a multi-city approach to the 2020 broadcast. The show will air live in 4K UHD from studio locations with no in-person audience in Los Angeles, Tokyo, and London. The three host cities for the Game Awards will be digitally connected for an innovative celebration with live award presentations, musical performances, and spectacular world premiere game announcements. Without a live in-person audience, fans around the world and thousands of live co-streamers will participate and virtually interact with the show across social media through live in-game experiences and via interactive extensions on leading streaming platforms. Additional details will be revealed in the coming months. The Game Awards also announced that it will present a new award starting in 2020, Innovation in Accessibility, that recognizes software and or hardware developers that are pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content to help games be played and enjoyed by an even wider audience. The Innovation in Accessibility Honor joins the Global Gaming Citizen Program, the Games for Impact Award, and other to-be-announced initiatives as ways to highlight those helping grow and diversify the types of people that create and consume video game entertainment. Once again, the Game Awards will serve as a launching pad for the weekend, for a weekend of instantly playable game content, in-game drops, demo, and live streams that celebrate the exciting future of video games across PC, console, mobile, and mixed reality experiences. The Game Awards sale will be available across all major PC and console platforms, giving fans access to special discounts on nominated games and other special offers. The Game Awards first launched in 2019. The Game Festival first launched in 2019 as an all-digital consumer event, will return and offer fans limited-time playable demos on upcoming games for both major studios and independent developers. More details will be released in the time to come. What do you think about that, Gary?
Well, you know me, Greg. I heard the words Jeff Keighley and just switched off.
No.
So, you know, I after that, all I heard, you sounded to me like the teacher from the Peanuts cartoons. Wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. You know, just generally, you know, these events have got to go virtual. This is the way to keep them on the air. If you are someone who likes the Games Awards and enjoys them, then I'm happy for you that it will continue to be delivered to you.
God, you just won't break character. You just won't break character. Thursday, December 10th, 2020, the Game Awards, like I said, happening in Los Angeles, Tokyo, and London. Hats off to them for the Innovation and Accessibility Award. I think that's awesome and obviously continues their Global Gaming Citizen Program, Games for Impact. But talking about accessibility, I think, is something we have seen more and more in the industry, and it's cool to see people celebrated for that. And I shouldn't say that, I guess. I think right now my front runner has got to be Last of Us Part II, right, for their insane, hey, here's all these different color blindness fonts, this, that, and the other to make you play that game. So,
really, yeah, I do like the idea of the accessibility award. I'd like to see more iterations of that as you know, because there's a million different game awards. So we're coming into award season. You're going to see, I mean, literally hundreds of game awards that get given out every year. I'm not even talking about individual awards, but like outlets. Like there's like, you know, 100 different ways you can win a video game award these days. Basically just make a video game and someone will give you an award in November. Like it's just a thing that happens. Because it's like we've got so many awards, we won't give them to somebody. Accessibility, you know, we're right to be focusing on this. It's something that all video games need to be taking more seriously and prioritizing more. And hey, it's a carrot and a stick approach, right? So far the stick has been, why the fuck is your game not more accessible? And be kind of like smacking up all these developers and complaining about them not being accessible enough. And that's good. That'll incentivize them. But a carrot is good too. Hey, good accessibility in your game, have an award. Hopefully that dual pronged approach will help spur greater prioritization of accessibility features in games. What The Last of Us Part II did with their accessibility stuff is amazing. That is currently the gold standard, and I'd like to see more games take that approach.
Real number question. Three on the Roper Report.
Sorry, really quick.
Okay, yeah.
An actual real question. Do we think any games are going to get the Jedi Fallen Order treatment this year?
Oh, of course.
What does that mean?
Jedi Fallen Order came right after the cutoff.
Oh, I see. Right, yeah. Right. And they cut it off. Doesn't that mean that Fallen Order now has to be in the mix this year?
Yeah, but it's not going to be actually considered. There are too many good games that came out this year.
That's the thing. Last year, Fallen Order had a...
Well, is it that all the other games are that much better? Or is it exactly what we feared, which is that Jedi Fallen Order was just too late to catch the cutoff for this year when it was shiny and new. And now it's not necessarily that it's any worse of a game a year later. It's just older now. And it's like something we're thinking about on this newer... more recent, shinier, sexier games. Not necessarily better, but we're not...
To answer your question, Gary Whitta, Jedi Fallen Order, my game of the year last year. Jedi Fallen Order, I don't even think would be my top five this year.
Right.
This year's caliber of games, I think, is just on another level.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about Final Fantasy, Last of Us, Animal Crossing. This is so far. Forget that. Then we have Cyberpunk. You have Miles Morales. Maybe Assassin's Creed. I don't know. Of course, Avengers game of the year. a Persona 5 Royal. Like, there's like, I think it's a way different year this year.
What do you think will be like Fallen Order this year, where everybody's gonna love it? It's too late to include into the the
I don't know, because it's a weird thing. If I remember what got it was like what the cutoff was November teens for Game Awards last year. So I'd have to look at release date schedules to see what's
I
coming
mean,
up.
Again, I thought what the Game Awards did, you know, and Jeff and I have this Matt Damon, Jimmy Kimmel thing going on where we joke about how we're enemies and stuff. But in all seriousness, I do think that was an unfortunate situation last year with the Game Awards cutting. I just feel like, why are you giving away awards before the year is even fucking over? Like, let all the games come out first before you
decide. There's got to be a cutoff. There's got to be a cutoff.
Yeah, okay, December 31st.
Nobody cares. And once we hit January, everybody wants to talk about 2021 games.
And that's the problem. We're giving away awards for like most anticipated game. What the fuck is that? I don't even know what that means.
Hydro.
It's nuts. Jedi Fallen Order is a game. Whether or not it would have won had it been able to be considered, that's a, I guess we'll never know. That's the sad thing. It's a moot point. We'll never know. Can you imagine? Again, I don't know what the cutoff's going to be or when the game's coming out. I'm just postulating here. Can you imagine if this happened this year with Cyberpunk?
That's what all everybody in the chat is.
I'm telling you, riots in the streets, Greg.
Everybody, I know. Cyberpunk is after the cutoff of where it would have been last year. But here's the thing: it's not about release dates. Well, it is about release dates, but it's if we could play it ahead of time, it would be okay. And it was that they were trying to get us Fallen Order review code for the Friday that was the cutoff, and they couldn't.
Tell you what, Jeff Keighley better not disrespect Cyberpunk, or he's in a fuck. He's in for a fucking water hurt. I tell you.
Wow, that's from Gary Whitta's mouth to God's ear, you know what I mean? Number three on the Roper Report, Baldur's Gate 3 has been delayed, but just by a little bit. Larian tweeted, we have bad news and good news. But first, the bad news. We're delaying to October 6th by a week. We'll be back later today with the Romance and Companionship update. Pick you all up again. They also put out the PC specs for Baldur's Gate 3, so a little bit of a delay. Not too bad. I think everybody's going to be able to hang in there and get it done, right? Number four on the Roper Report. Xbox has talked a little bit more about Bethesda and buying more studios. This is Ian Shearer over at CNET. He had Phil Spencer, of course, the big wig of Xbox, and then Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. I'm joining the interview midstream. While Microsoft may be home to some big hit titles, many gamers have said the company needed to up its game, particularly when compared with Sony. Quote, a look at the two companies' 2018 exclusives roster makes for grim reading, at least for Xbox fans, gaming site Polygon wrote in 2018. Gamers will see a noticeable difference with Bethesda, Spencer said in the interview Monday, noting that the company's games will be offered on Microsoft's Xbox Game Pass subscription service the same way or the same time they hit store shelves. They'll also be available through Microsoft's xCloud video game streaming service, which allows people to play games over the internet, similar to the way they stream movies for Netflix. Quote, this is a huge investment in games that they're going to get to play, he said. Spencer also, this is where there's more new information because obviously we knew that. Spencer also said Bethesda will run semi-independently in an effort to keep the company building the games that brought its success in the first place. Quote, it is about the culture of those teams. They're not about becoming us. It's also why game companies will continue to be on Microsoft's radar. Quote, we'll always look for places where there is that commonality of purpose, mission, and culture, Nadella said, noting that the Xbox team has worked with ZeniMax companies, including Bethesda, since the first Xbox was released in 2001. Quote, we will always look to grow inorganically where it makes sense. So again, Gary, not just tidbits there of this semi-independent for Bethesda, that they're not shaking too much stuff up. I know inside baseball-wise, on our end, the PR team from Bethesda put out an email to all of us going, hey, just so you know, nothing changes. We're still your contacts. This is still the thing. So it looks like nothing's shaking up there. That team's still saying intact. They're not getting lumped into one Xbox team. So that makes sense with Phil saying semi-independently. And then, of course, I always think these quotes you get from CEOs of these companies going like, the door is always open to buy more things is pretty much common knowledge, obviously. Even if PlayStation's not talking about it right now, I'm sure they are eyeing buying people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to take a long time. You know, this Microsoft buying Bethesda thing was a massive, massive bombshell. And it just like probably the biggest story in games for a really, really long time. Just like no one saw it coming. It was seismic. Everyone was shitting their pants the morning that it came out. Nobody knew what it meant. I did see Phil Spencer on CNBC the other day talking about it. And it does sound, you know, a lot of people are like, well, what does this mean? Does this mean that Fallout's now going to be an Xbox exclusive and blah, blah, blah? I don't think it will be. I think that they will continue to publish his games on all these platforms because there's money to be made publishing Fallout and Doom and Wolfenstein and Elder Scrolls on PlayStation. I think Microsoft will continue to do that, just like they do with Minecraft, and they'll continue to make money. The difference is it all comes back. I'm sorry to sound like a bore, but it all comes back to Game Pass. Microsoft gets to say, mm-hmm. "Hey, mm-hmm. do you like Fallout, Doom, Elder Scrolls?" All these other amazing Wolfenstein, all these other amazing, and all the stuff that they've got coming down the pike. You like that shit? Well, you can buy those games at $70 a piece on PlayStation 5, or you can just get it all in Game Pass for $10 a month, along with everything else we're already offering you. Microsoft is heavily in the let's invest in making Game Pass as sweet an offer as possible. And they just made it much, much sweeter by adding all this Bethesda stuff to that portfolio. It doesn't have to be platform exclusive to be really compelling. It's all about adding value to Game Pass, and they've added a ton of value to it.
It's true. Yeah. I'm excited to see you guys talk about it on XCast, because obviously this is such a huge, crazy move, and what it means for Fallout New Vegas 2, what it means for, obviously, just in general, the future of Bethesda games. Game Pass, fascinating. But speaking of Xbox, number 5 on the Roper Report, Xbox Twitter chimed in about the pre-order stuff that we were all talking about over the last 24 hours. They said, quote, "We are humbled by the record-breaking demand for Xbox Series X and S. Huge thanks to everyone for the excitement. If you weren't successful today, be sure to sign up with retailers for updates and expect more consoles to be available on November 10th. Gary, did you try to get an Xbox Series X yesterday? Did you go through the rigmaroles and the hoops?
I did. I was a good little consumer. I was up at my computer well before 8 a.m. Pacific, and I had multiple tabs open, and I did everything I'm supposed to do. I made sure that my shipping information was correct, and I had accounts created at all the different places. My credit card information was correct, because that's how I got fucked in the past, Greg. You've seen this happen.
Sure.
You think you're all good. You get the pre-order. You get it in the cart. Sorry, you need to update your credit card. And by the time you've done that, fished out your credit card and updated it, someone else got it. So, like, you got to be ready to click through and, like, you know, you got to have everything prepared. So I did that. I had all my correct information at Target, at Microsoft, and at Amazon. And, of course, when everything clicked over to 8 a.m., the Target site didn't fucking work. Basically, every single site that I tried had its own unique way to fail. Like, Target was like, oops, you haven't actually put it in your cart. Oops, now you've put too many in your cart. Like, what the fuck is going on at Target? What a mess. Microsoft, the site just went down. Amazon shit the bed and just started showing me pictures of dogs, which I guess is better than nothing. But, like, come on, Amazon. When the Amazon internet backbone is down, we're all fucked. That's how bad it was. And, like, 20 minutes later, I'm just not getting one. Because like 20 minutes later, you figure like the one that I want is already up on eBay at 5 times the markup from some asshole with a bot and a script has gotten it for me, and now he wants to sell it back to me for like $1,500. Fuck that guy. But I kept trying, and people on Twitter kept saying they're back up. You know, I'm following Wario64 and these other jokers on Twitter that are watching this stuff. A bunch of people very helpfully, thank you, Twitter community, was saying, Gary, they're back up. Try Microsoft again now. It's back up. And they did eventually, literally while sitting on the toilet, managed to get a confirmation number for an Xbox Series X. I hope that's not prophetic. But I did. People said to me, like, were you able to get an Xbox Series X? The answer to that question won't be answered until November 10th, if and when the fucking UPS truck or whatever it is rolls up and the guy puts it in my hands. At that point, I will say, yes, I got a Series X. I can tell you what I have now is I have a confirmation number, which, as we know, confirmation doesn't mean anything anymore. They can just unconfirm that anytime you want. Amazon already send out these PS5 emails. Oops, you might not get it launch day. I've had multiple instances of ordering like a hot item and thinking I've got it, and then 2 weeks later, yeah. Sorry, you didn't actually get it. Fuck off. But this is what we signed up for, Greg. I don't know of a better way to do it. And these titans of industry, the most powerful people in the video games industry, in the retail world, all these fucking genius CEOs that are taking home, you know, 7/8 figure salaries, they apparently can't figure it out, because even though Microsoft, I think ultimately it was better than PlayStation, because they didn't ambush and go, oh, and by the way, PlayStation pre-orders are now, they're just available now. Good luck. You know, it's the Wild West out there. Microsoft at least tried to do it in a more orderly fashion. But as exactly as we all predicted, come 7:59, flipping over to 8 a.m. Pacific this week. Yeah, it was a total shit show. It was a shit show, Greg. Did you try to get one?
No. I mean, full disclosure, you see people, I see Jeff Grubb in our chat right now who has one from Xbox. We are getting one from Xbox for Kind of Funny preview coverage. So like, that was my thing of like, cool, I'm going to have that. And since I can't work from home, you know, the PlayStations were a different story of us trying to buy them to make sure we had them, because I don't trust PlayStation as far as I can throw them in terms of getting us review units or doing anything like that. So it was that idea that I know Xbox has been very forthcoming.
Greg, you know that you're going to get a shiny Elite Special Influencer Edition with like Greg Miller fucking etched into it in calligraphy.
No, I wish. If there was still the New York event like there was at the PS4, then my name would be etched in it as it is with my PlayStation 4. Because I went to the
you know that Yosp is going to be standing outside your fucking front door of your apartment with a PlayStation, I'm just a boy standing in front of another boy asking him to love my console. You know that's going to happen. You are going to get the fucking white glove treatment on PlayStation 5, Greg. You're not fooling anyone. We all know.
I mean, I don't know what you mean fooling anyone. I'm telling you, they have shared none of their strategy, and I'm not going to take any chances.
Trust me, their strategy is make Greg Miller happy. That's their strategy.
Man, then they don't listen. Well, they haven't followed that strategy in a little bit, have they, in terms of what they're doing out there? I digress. Number 6 on the Roper Report, No Man's Sky just hit a new version 3.0 with a universe-expanding Origins update is out right now. This is James O'Connor at GameSpot. No Man's Sky has launched its next update, Origins, and it's an update so seismic that the game's version number has been pushed forward to 3.0. No Man's Sky Origins doubles the variety of the game's planets, essentially recreating the universe with many, many new elements. We're way late in the show. I was going to read a bit more from it, but you can find out. It's a huge update. There's a lot of coverage out there about it if you're a No Man's Sky person. But basically, they're looking at the number of people whose average playtime with it is like 45 hours or something. And so they want to give it a shake up so it is new to everybody once again. Number 7, is the Animal Crossing fall update sooner than we think, Gary? Nintendo Canada put up a thing talking about what's coming soon to a bunch of its games, and they put under Animal Crossing, it's time to celebrate the fall season in Animal Crossing New Horizons game, which means there's another free update around the corner. Be prepared for seasonal in-game events and activities, plus some spooktacular tricks and treats. Gary, I want the Halloween update for Animal Crossing now.
Just give me that Halloween content. This is my favorite time of the year, Greg, as yes. You know. I want that spooky content. I'm excited that the Fall Guys Twitter account is teasing the Halloween content that's coming. This is my favorite time of the year when all these your favorite video games get those spooky seasonal updates. Animal Crossing, of course. Oh my god! Like the mind boggles thinking about the possibilities of Halloween decorations, pumpkins, spooky costumes in Able Sisters. Oh my! It's all going to start kicking off very soon, Greg.
We got to be trick-or-treating too, right? We got to be able to go to the house.
Oh, there's got to be trick-or-treating quests. I can't wait to get into it.
And then finally, number 8 on the Roper Report, rounding it out, we have Assassin's Creed Valhalla details for PlayStation 5. This is Sammy Barker at Push Square. There's no real huge surprise here, but it looks like Assassin's Creed Valhalla will run at 60 frames per second in 4K on the PlayStation 5, as was also confirmed for Xbox Series X previously. Word comes courtesy of Eurogamer.de article, where it's also mentioned that that the release will leverage the Sony console's SSD for improved loading times and Tempest Engine for 3D sound. The Ubisoft-published Viking 'Em Up has a marketing partnership with Microsoft, so details about the next-gen PlayStation version have been quite thin on the ground. Presumably, the title will also take advantage of the unique features of the DualSense controller, but we'll probably have to wait until closer to launch for more on that. Great. Cannot wait. Loved what I played of Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Very excited to jump into that and get lost, Gary.
My wife in particular is very excited about that. She loved Odyssey, as you know. That was her pretty much her most played game of last year. So I think she's very excited about jumping in with the next gen hardware. Going to need to do a quick a little bit of investigation to see like let Digital Foundry get their hands on it, because we'll hopefully have both consoles. Want to make sure that we get the best version. I'm thinking we're probably leaning towards Series X because my wife likes the Xbox controller.
Sure.
She hates the DualShock 4. It feels like it might have a slightly different feel in the hand because they changed the... It's
supposed to be heftier, yeah.
Doesn't have those offset sticks, though.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
Got to have the offset sticks.
I hear you. If that's what you're looking for, that's what you're looking for. Two pieces of breaking news for you, and I'll just call them tidbits. I'm not even giving them a news item or a number. Number one, it seems like over on Twitter, Xbox Game Pass is teasing that Doom Eternal is coming soon to Xbox Game Pass. And then as well, I'm seeing a couple of people in Your Wrong pop up to say it's breaking that Sony has confirmed there's no free update for the PlayStation, or there's no free PlayStation 5 upgrade for PS4 Spider-Man players. But even though they're confirming that, I guess, and publicly saying that, we've known that, I feel like, forever, but maybe I'm just am pulling too much from Insomniac's Twitter in the past.
Gary. So will I be able to, if I decided I wanted to replay Spider-Man, but on PlayStation 5, I get that, but are they going to charge me like $10 for an upgrade, or are they going to make me buy it all over again?
No, you have to buy the Ultimate Edition. Shut up, Barrett. I'm hosting the show. Right. You have to buy the Ultimate Edition, yeah, the Spider-Man Miles Morales, which comes with the download code there for it.
Okay. All right. God, they're constantly thinking of new and interesting ways to fuck you over and get your money out of you.
What if we call it
the Ultimate Edition? That'll fool them.
Gary.
Unbelievable.
I'm excited to see the next way all these big corporations fuck us over, but that's still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop video game shops, I'd ask you to read from a certain list. But before then, I'd say, ladies and gentlemen, remember, you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can be part of the show. You can get the show with the exclusive post show. And of course, you can get the show ad-free. Speaking of ads, Gregway, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Logitech. Logitech has been our go-to for a long time when it comes to gaming headsets. Of course, at the office, you see me wearing it all the time. I wear the Logitech one with the noise-canceling blue mic, and it's wired. But they did away with the wire, and they now have the Pro X wireless Lightspeed gaming headset. Based on the award-winning Pro gaming headset design, Pro X wireless headset features high-quality materials, advanced communications, precision audio, and total wireless freedom. It's a high-performance Pro X gaming headset with Lightspeed wireless technology and up to 20 hours of, or more than 20 hours of battery life. It also features detachable pro-grade microphone featuring real-time Blue Voice technology, including passive noise isolation, compressor limiter, and more for clean, professional voice comms. It doesn't stop there, as they also have the advanced Pro-G 50mm drivers, which deliver clear and precise sound imaging and improved bass response. Hear footsteps and environmental cues with clarity to give you a competitive advantage. You can also experience the headset's supreme comfort and durability. For a limited time, Logitech is offering our listeners 10% off select products at logitechg.com. Use the code KFGames for 10% off today. That's 10% off select Logitech G products with the promo code KFGames. Up next, it's Klarna. Thanks to Klarna for supporting Kind of Funny Games Daily. In Sweden, they don't shop, they Klarna. Klarna is a revolutionary new online shopping app from Sweden that allows you to shop thousands of online stores and pay for anything in 4 easy interest-free payments that make shopping smoother. With the Klarna app, you can shop anywhere online from one app. It's easy to use and convenient to browse thousands of online stores from one convenient place. Pay for anything in 4 interest-free payments. Paying after delivery allows you to try before you buy, and you can also report returns directly in the app. Get the best deals with customized price drop alerts on items you've saved to get to your wish lists. It's always good to shop smarter and save money. Create and share wish lists of items with friends and family from anywhere online. It's fun, easy way to show what kind of products you like. Tim's been using it. He loves how easy it is to find what he's looking for and get set up. Klarna is smoother, friendlier, Swedisher way to shop online. It's the one-stop shopping app for browsing and buying anything online, all in one app, and allows you to pay for anything in 4 easy interest-free payments. Download the Klarna app today. That's K-L-A-R-N-A, Swedish for shopping. And our final sponsor today is HelloFresh. Get fresh pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh lets you skip those trips to the grocery store and makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. Of course, Kind of Funny loves HelloFresh. Tim and Gia have been using it. He keeps talking about these burgers she made, but he will not tell me how to make them because I need to use HelloFresh. HelloFresh offers convenient delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. The recipes are easy to follow and quick to make with simple steps and pictures to guide you along the way. HelloFresh offers so many delicious options each and every week to break you out of the recipe rut and try new things. There's something for everyone, including low-calorie, vegetarian, kid-friendly recipes. HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying, which is a burden on the planet and your wallet. HelloFresh is committed to making fresh, delicious food available more than ever and has taken extra steps to keep its employees and customers safe, including contactless delivery, tamper-proof packaging, and team member wellness checks. Go to HelloFresh.com/games80 and use the code games80 to get a total of $80 off your first month, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. Remember, that's HelloFresh.com/games80 and use the code games80 to get a total of $80 off your first month. Gary, what's the list name?
Sorry, I coughed right as you said that, so I didn't hear That's what fine. You said. What did you say?
What's the list name? What's the list name? If I want to go to list of the mom and pop shop, Spicy Chicken Nugs, where do I go?
Oh, you teed me up in a weird way there. So you kind of,
Spicy
you,
Chicken
you,
Nugs!
You threw me off. Hey, what do you think about those McDonald's spicy nugs?
I'm not, you know, I wasn't dumb. I watched
the
Nug Dome.
I rushed out to try them because you know how I like my spicy nugs.
Yeah.
I wasn't really that impressed.
I haven't tried them yet.
No, what? And I didn't watch it, but I heard about Andy and Nick apparently ranking the chicken
number
nuggets.
One. They put them number one.
So, somebody told me about that. Their ranking sounded all wrong to me. But dude, whatever.
They're number one by far and away.
No, I think the Wendy's ones are better.
Oh no. Okay, and this is someone who like grew up liking Wendy's more.
But this is the great thing about actual reality and not the way that everyone tries to have these stupid fights on Twitter. Mm. You can go enjoy your McDonald's nugs. I'll go enjoy my Wendy's nugs. And neither of us have to be right or wrong. It's just, hey, guess what? We like different
things. No, I'm right. You're wrong. Fuck you, Gary.
I know, because it's the internet and there can only be like one objective truth.
There can only be one.
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Unrailed on PS4, Switch, and PC. Castle Storm 2 on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. This is out today. The Drone Racing League Simulator on Xbox One. Rage Jump on PC. Mina and Michi on PC. Plastic Rebellion on PC. Art of Rally on PC and Mac. The Imagined Leviathan on PC and Mac. Twin Breaker is a Sacred Symbol Adventure on Switch. Orbed XL on Switch. Rocket League is free to play today. Mario Kart Tour gets a Los Angeles Tour event. It's available to play now and runs until October 6th. When the Past Was Around is launching on Steam today and is coming to PS4, Xbox, and Switch this November. Dead Cells' new Barrels of Fun update finally drops on consoles today. And then Console Wars, the documentary, is on CBS All Access. We will be reviewing it on the Kind of Funny Games cast this afternoon on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames tomorrow. New dates for you. Falcon Age is coming to Steam and Switch on October 8th. And then Frostpoint VR Proving Grounds launches in open beta on September 28th. I got a deal of the day for you as well. This comes from Charles Jacobson at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can and says. A deal of the day shout out. PSN is having a Big in Japan sale with a lot of excellent titles, including what I consider to be the best JRPG, especially if you're a completionist. Nino Kuni remastered for $15. 100 hours of amazing content, beautiful animations, fantastic story, and more importantly, drippy. Gary, we went long today, so it's already time to squat up. This is where one of you, ladies and gentlemen, writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, George needs help on Xbox. His Xbox username is 8BitGeek09. Now, that's 8 spelled out, then 09 at the end. 8BitGeek09. Hey, guys. I'm looking for some Avengers to assemble with. I've just beaten the campaign, and I'm now looking to squad up and save the day. I'm an emergency services worker in London, so I'm on Greenwich Mean Time. But the hours I keep mean, I'm online at random. Oh, the hours keep. I see. The hours I keep mean, I'm online at random times throughout the day/night. So if you want to play Avengers with Jords, aka 8BitGeek09 on Xbox, hit him up on that Xbox Live. Gary. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And of course, podcast services around the globe. Ignacio Rojas writes in to say, Konami also still makes Yu-Gi-Oh games. So there you go. Ignacio Rojas, now our Konami expert. Hey Ray says, tell Gary that Spider-Man can still be played via backwards compatibility. Of course it can, but that's not what he wants. He wants the free next-gen update, the bells and whistles and the pretty puddles and the pretty Peter Parker, right, Gary?
Yeah, so that was actually my bigger question about PlayStation 5, and that is, and I apologize if the information's out there and I've not already consumed it, but Greg, maybe you can set me straight. On day one, when the PlayStation 5 comes out, can I unplug my, you know, because I've only got so many HDMI ports in my TV, can I unplug my PlayStation 4, replace it with my PlayStation 5, and just through that continue to play all of my PlayStation 4 games that I already have in my digital library, like, for example, Fall Guys?
Theoretically.
Oh, you see, why can't it just be simple? We're 6 weeks out. Why is there no answer to this?
Well, first off, it's because they don't want to message it. And I've told them, just give me the thing and I'll make a video for you. But no, it's, yeah, we don't know how save transfers and all that from PS4 to PS5 is going to work. We know that PS5 is backwards compatibility. You assume that if it's on your PlayStation Plus, cloud storage, it'll be there, right, ready to go in terms of your saves or whatever. But that hasn't been 1,000% confirmed in terms of, like, here's what it's going to look like on day one. That's why I say theoretically. Theoretically, you should be able to do that. Yes, theoretically, I should be able to play Avengers like ready this. To go.
They should not be answering basic questions like this with the word theoretically 6 weeks out. That's not, they must know the answer. It either works or it doesn't. Unacceptable.
We'll see. We'll see.
Every fucking time we go through this drama.
They just haven't told us. That's the more important thing, you know? Okay. Nanobiologist says, Miss News, Maneater, the shark game, announced it will release a free next-gen upgrade for all owners of the game with ray tracing support, DualSense support, and 4K 60. So there you go. MS Gambo says Donkey Kong Country 2 releases on Nintendo Switch Online today. Donktober starts today. And then
Donktober, that's great.
Want to argue about nuggets in there because that's what we do on Kind of Funny. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kind of Funny Games Daily. We, of course, have a post show to do on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can go right now. Of course, get this very episode ad-free, write in with your own questions, watch that post show, maybe catch that show, Bless Up, where Blessing answers your questions, and it's exclusive to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But maybe don't. If you don't, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe. Please like, subscribe, share, follow, all that jazz. Until next time, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.